Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please be seated. The one true religion, the Christian religion, is a religion of words. The foundation for our faith, indeed the only rule and norm for what we believe, is a book of words that is the Word of God. And this book deals with words from beginning to end. In the beginning, God created all that exists by speaking words. In good time, he appeared to Moses in a burning bush and spoke to him. His commandments were written down on tablets of stone. And two of those commandments deal explicitly with words. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, and you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. We have this book because God inspired the prophets and the apostles and the evangelists to teach and write. Faith comes from hearing, wrote St. Paul, and hearing through the word of Christ. We heard Peter preach that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And indeed, the Bible ends with our Lord speaking words, saying, "Surely I am coming soon." Words are very powerful according to the Bible. They can build up or they can tear down. They can trouble or they can console. Words can condemn and words can save. Words can bring joy and increase faith, but words can also bring sorrow and increase sin. Faith indeed comes by hearing, but unbelief can also be brought about by words. James writes about the destructive power of words that are spoken by the tongue in chapter 3 of his epistle. So also the tongue is a small member, and yet it boasts of great things. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. Now, this power of the tongue, the power to bless and curse, to build up or to destroy, is evident in our lessons from Holy Scripture this day. In our Old Testament lesson at Babel, we so clearly hear of the power of words to unite, to create, and to build. At that time, the whole earth had one language and the same words. And because of that, the men at Babel were able to create for themselves stronger and better building materials. They could dream big dreams and plan big plans. They had in mind a city with a tower with its top in the heavens. And the power of words enabled these ancient men to accomplish these great and mighty works of technology and architecture. But it wasn't for God's glory. Indeed, they sought their own. "Let us make a name for ourselves," they said. They were so concerned for the praise of their own name that they gave no thought to keeping God's name holy. They thought that by their shared language, their one common goal, they could remain united and keep themselves from being dispersed across the face of the whole earth. But if they were to remain in one place, that would be directly disobeying the word of the Lord that was spoken to their father Noah and his son just a little bit, about a century earlier. God told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. And no doubt those men at Babel knew that word. They knew what God had commanded Noah their father, but they rejected it. And they replaced it with their own word, a command to build and settle and make a name for themselves. And so God scattered their words. He disrupted their language. "Come, let us go down," says the Lord, "and there confuse their language so that they may not understand one another's speech." And so, despite their rejection of the word of the Lord, God's will was done anyways. From there, those men were dispersed in the end over the face of all the earth. And ironically, those men did end up making a name for themselves, didn't they? But not a glorious name, not a name of honor, but rather one of shame. Babel. Because it was at that place that the Lord confused the language of all the earth. Now, a few thousand years later, we hear of more words. In Pentecost, another group of men found themselves together all in one place, just like at Babel. And again, like at Babel, after a short while, God dispersed those people from that one place, speaking many different languages. And yet it's a very different kind of event recorded for us at Pentecost as opposed to Babel. For the result of that dispersion was salvation, not destruction. Yes, devout men from every nation under heaven heard the words of the apostles that were spoken in their own native tongues. They were amazed and astonished. And Peter, who not all that long before was so timid that he couldn't even confess his Lord Jesus to a servant girl, then stood before a great assembly and began to preach the mighty works of God. Again, at first glance, Pentecost seems to bear a number of similarities to Babel, but in the end, the two events are very different. For unlike Babel, the disciples at Pentecost did not speak in order to make a name for themselves, but to confess the name of Jesus. On Pentecost, God's name, not man's, was kept holy because the apostles taught the Word of God in its truth and purity rather than their own ideas. Yes, it's true. Our Christian faith is a faith of words. And the Bible gives a great deal of attention to words. But words apart from God, or words against God, bring only destruction, disharmony, condemnation, and separation. Again, this is evident in the account of the Tower of Babel. Men believed their own words, schemed by their own words, trusted their own words, and rejected God's word, and they were undone. Find this in countless other biblical accounts too. You also see it in your own lives. The destructive power of words apart from God. It's not only those words that deceive, betray, slander, gossip, or hurt reputations, as forbidden in the Eighth Commandment. It's also those words that puff up, that flatter, that entice, that seduce. How many families, friendships, marriages, churches, communities, even great nations have been destroyed by flattering words and smooth-sounding speech. Just like Babel, words that are spoken in order to glorify man at the expense of God and His glory only end in shame and destruction. But this morning we've also heard about the wonderful things that God's Word does. We find this in John 14, our gospel lesson. Hear again what Jesus said. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. God's word brings you God himself. Jesus says, if you have God's word, you have God. When you receive that word in faith, you receive God. For Jesus is the Word of God, the Word made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This Word, through whom all things were made at the beginning of creation, when God spoke and it was so, this Word became flesh and blood, true man, like unto us in every way, and yet without sin. Truly that Word dwelt among us. Born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, preached and taught and worked miracles throughout all Judea and Galilee. But in the years since Babel, not much had changed for sinful man. Men sought to silence the Word of God. They hated it. They despised the Word. So they arrested the Word made flesh, and they falsely accused him. They spoke against him. They jeered him and mocked him. They nailed him to the cross. And yet Jesus, the Word, would not be silenced. On Easter morning, Jesus arose from death, from the grave, the Word of life, never to die again. And he appeared to his disciples on that first Easter evening, as we heard several weeks ago. And he spoke to them. He said, "Peace be with you." The same peace that Jesus, the Word, promised to them just 3 days earlier. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." He gave them that peace after his resurrection. And when he did so, when he said peace, you remember he showed them his nail-pierced hands. To teach them, to teach us, that it is by his crucifixion and his crucifixion alone that we have peace. Thanks to the atoning sacrifice that Jesus, the Word made flesh, made for us, and not for us alone, but for the whole world. How great is the difference between what is worked by the Word of God and what is worked by the words that are spoken against God. The Word of God brings peace. Words against God bring division. As we continue in the book of Acts, on that day of Pentecost and beyond, we see the peace that is brought about, that is created through the Word of God. For as we continue reading in Acts chapter 2, we find Peter continuing to preach the Word of God. He preached the law. That law which shows sinners their sins and condemns them, convicts them. But he preached to them the pure, consoling gospel, which brings forgiveness of sins and creates and strengthens faith in their hearts. The words preached by Peter struck those who heard it right in the heart. They were cut. Godly repentance was worked in those same hearts. And 3,000 souls were baptized, washed with water, and the Word for the forgiveness of their sins. And peace, peace with God was given through the Word that Peter preached. But not only was peace with God established in those words, but peace with one another, peace with men. Those 3,000 souls were given true unity, founded on God's Word, not in spite of it as at Babylon. For according to Acts chapter 2, those who were baptized devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together. They had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. So far, Acts. And so we see what wonderful things the Word of God did, creating peace with God and peace among men. Such peace is not limited or restricted to the apostles and the converts at Pentecost 2,000 years ago. That peace is here for you today. For that same Word of God is here for you today. Those apostles who sat with Jesus at table on the night of his betrayal, who preached the mighty works of God at Pentecost, were inspired by the Holy Spirit to record the words of Jesus, to write them down. To write down the inspired teaching based on those words of Jesus. Words that are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life, life eternal in his name. That by hearing that word in faith, you may have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit dwelling with you and making his home with you to grant you peace unlike any kind of peace found in the world today. That's because the world can offer peace that is based only on the frail and flighty words of men. Words that are here one day and gone tomorrow. Promises that are kept in one moment and broken the next. But Christ offers you peace based on the unfailing and eternal Word of God that never fails. Through this Word, you have peace with God. Your sins are forgiven. Before Him, you stand guiltless, pure and clean, as through the Word, the atoning sacrifice made by Jesus on the cross is delivered to you. And likewise, because you have that peace with God, you also have peace with one another. You may forgive others their trespasses, even as your own trespasses have been forgiven by your Heavenly Father. And furthermore, like those first Christians after Pentecost, you may share what you have with those in need, doing good unto all, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. We have opportunity to do so now with members who are in need. We'll have opportunity to do so very soon when a vicar arrives, as we seek to help him prepare and train for the office of the ministry. And the Lord knows what opportunities will continue to arise in the days ahead to support one another, to have all things in common, to have peace with God, to have favor with one another. For all of this, your pastors are continually encouraging and exhorting you to hear the Word of God faithfully in this church, in this congregation. Be regular and frequent in receiving that word that comes with the bread and wine that is Jesus' true body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. To be faithful in your study of Scripture, both at home but also here among your brothers and sisters in the faith. It's even to commit the words of Scripture and the small catechism to memory. We urge you to do such things because we long for you to have that peace of God which passes all understanding, the peace that comes through His Word alone. We know that apart from God's Word, you will find no peace in this world, not with God or with anyone else for that matter. So if you've been absent from this Word, repent and believe the Word, the good news that your sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake, who died for you, who rose again for you, who has washed you clean and pure in holy baptism, who declares you to be His very own now and forevermore. Yes, like those first Christians long ago at Pentecost, hear the word of the Lord, repent, and believe the gospel. Words are very powerful indeed. Words apart from God can do great harm. But the Word of God does great and powerful things. For the Word of God brings you God Himself, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, making His home with you. And when that happens, then you have perfect peace. Peace not like the world should give, but peace that has been given to you by the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, whose Word never fails. As He has promised, so will He accomplish it. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Please stand.